you have been adopted into the family of God. We've been adopted. We wasn't born. But through the adoption by Jesus Christ, we can become a holder of the birthright, just like Jesus was one and David was one and Israel was one, or Jacob. And just like Ephraim became one because his brethren forfeited their right to it because they rejected the responsibility to live holy. In 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, I believe it's in the 2nd verse, that the birthright was given unto Ephraim because Reuben went up into his father's couch and defiled his father's bed. And he lost it. He was the firstborn. He was the strength of Jacob. But because he defiled his father's couch, the Bible said the right or the legacy of the firstborn was transferred from Reuben to Ephraim. Who would accept that responsibility? Why? Because his father Joseph decided and determined and made it absolutely manifested that he'd take all the responsibility to have the provisions of that birthright so he could have that great blessing that went along with it. And there Reuben and Esau and many others through the Bible that were naturally firstborn sons, they rejected the birthright because of their rejection of the responsibility, and that was to live a separated life, to live a holy life, to keep themselves apart from the other inhabitants of the world, to continue with holiness, the legacy of Jesus Christ that would bring many sons to become firstborn by adoption into the great family of God. They said, we want to continue that legacy. For the promise of Abraham is, if we'll keep the birthright provision, all families in the earth will be blessed through the legacy of the firstborns of all of those generations to Christ that will stay holy, will stay separate, undefiled, live according to God's commandments. Then eventually we're going to have millions adopted into this family. And we want to keep that responsibility so we can inherit the blessing and share it with others. That's the reason God needs firstborn today so desperately. Men and women, young people that will not sell their birthrights as Esau did. And you read that pathetically. In the 4th or the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning in verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness. There's the responsibility. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Then he says warningly, looking diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up defile him or trouble him, and thereby many be defiled. And then he continues, lest there be any fornicator or a profane person, that means a carnally minded person, who for one morsel of meat, and there he was, the birthright holder, had it right in his grasp, born in a position to attain anything his heart desired, but through his profanity, through his carnality, through his abrogation of the responsibility that went along to live holy, to stay separate away from all those pagans and heathens that they lived in the midst of. He said, for one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. And you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, see, he didn't want the responsibility to live holy, but he wanted the legacy of the blessing that was so great. But when the Lord saw that he despised, and that's very obvious, let me show you that scripture. Genesis 25 and 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What did he despise? Did he despise the blessing? No, he despised the responsibility that went with it. See, God was checking him out before he could get the blessing. He had to take the responsibility. See, he probably thought like most folks do today that are Christians, you know, and preachers are teaching folks, it doesn't make any difference if you don't accept your responsibility because you've been chosen to be a firstborn among many brethren. God would never abrogate his promise to you. It's not contingent upon what you do, beloved. It's contingent upon what he did for you. And there they go on that old monotones of patronizing junk. God, have mercy sakes. Sure, it's what he did to bring us into the family of God, but Jesus warned in Matthew 20 and verse 16, he said, "For the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, for many be called, but few are chosen." Sure, they're called. God, have mercy. It is what Jesus did that brings us the calling. But the responsibility is yours and mine. God ain't going to make you do it. You're going to have to do it. If you accept the responsibility, you can have the birthright. You can be chief among many brethren. But if you don't, you can be rejected. Just like Esau. You know how that afterward, when he wanted the blessing, he was rejected. And he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully, with tears streaming down his cheeks. In Genesis, the 27th chapter, you hear him crying. Verse 34, Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with an exceeding bitter cry. And he said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And his father said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." Jacob had bought the birthright from an old profane brother that his responsibility to live holy and separated from the heathens and pagans and immorality and idolatry of that society, it meant nothing to him. If you don't believe it, listen to how it all started out. This is going a little bit backward, but it really happened first. First chapter 28 of Genesis. Genesis 28:1. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." See, Esau didn't even wait for his father to give him the advice or give him. He knew what that responsibility was. He knew what that birthright meant. He knew the provisions of it. But here Jacob got the blessing, because he'd already bought the birthright. Over in the 25th chapter, Esau despised his birthright. And Jacob said to him in verse 31, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. What did he sell it for? A mess of pottage. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He didn't want it anyway. Here's the reason why. Now after Jacob had beguiled his brother, he fooled Isaac, you know. He was the second. He'd only been born seconds behind old Esau. You find that there in the 25th chapter too. Also, in Genesis 25, verse 24. "Now when Rebekah's days were fulfilled to be delivered, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that his brother came out. And his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob." There he was. He was only about 3 or 4 seconds apart. But the firstborn, if it was just 3 seconds difference, he was still the inheritor of the birthright. He was the firstborn. He'd been born. You remember that old song we sing? I love it. "For I was born to serve the Lord." This fellow was born to be the holder of the birthright. He was born to have a responsibility to be the legator of an inheritance that began with Abraham, that would end with Jesus. And he knew the provisions of that covenant that God made with Abraham better than you and me know it. His daddy had, boy, he'd been taught it from his time he was able to understand the language they spoke in. Old Esau knew it, so did Jacob. But see, God, in the scriptures, you read in Romans 9:13, that Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Why was it? Because one was profane and one was spiritual minded. One had a sense of values and his priorities were set on things that were spiritual. Yeah, Esau put his sense of values and priorities on things carnal.